الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Yesterday we tried to pose a posture of namaz. We explained about when a person is in tashahud position, jalsa, he must sit on the left leg and keep the right leg up. So the left leg which we are sitting on, as far as possible, those who can manage it should press their toes onto the right leg and bend them also towards qibla. The toes of the left leg should be also bent towards qibla, how much we can according to the health and the person, and also the right leg or the left leg on which we are sitting, and the toes touch the left leg, we should try to bend the toes also towards qibla if we can. Another posture of namaz is that when we are going into sajda from the standing position after ruku, when we go into sajda, we should put our hands and support them on our knees and go down with this back as far as possible straight till we go down. That is the correct way. And then starting from the bottom, the parts of the body must touch the ground starting from the bottom. The toes are on the ground and turn the toes towards qibla. And then after that, the knees should go down. And after that, the hands. And after that, the nose and then the forehead. In this sequence, this is how we should make the sajda. And when lifting ourselves up, completely opposite again. Starting from the top, first lift the head and then the nose and then the hands and then the knees. Support on the knees and then the toes are at the bottom and the person stands up again. Or when he sits up, or he is from the second sajda, when he stands up. It's correct that way. So, yeah, we should try and keep the sequence in mind. Also, if a person has got some problems, old age or joint problems or anything, a person was hurt in an accident or anything like that, and he cannot manage, that is excused. But basically, that is how it should be. So we should keep that also in mind and should do our sajda in that way and lift our head from sajda, whether to the sitting position or whether to the standing position, in that sequence, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq to correct us, and inshallah, towards the end of Ramadan, the whole practical namaz will be done, and we should try and become conscious. Not only this that we are talking about it, but each one of us, we should try and watch our own namaz as much as we can and try and have somebody to check on us, because ourselves we cannot see. For example, once we were with Hazrat, and Hazrat taught us how to make zikr. And we were used to the Bara Tasbih of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, in which we move our head. La ilaha illallah. That is how the Bara Tasbih we were used to. So Hazrat told me to show the people, so I showed again like that. Then Allah reward Maulana Yusuf Lahir, he was sitting there. He said, no, Hazrat's tariqah is not from the head. I said also, you must move your body from your waist. But I was doing it with my head. I wasn't moving my body. So many times the person thinks he's doing the right thing, but he himself is not doing. He's saying it also. And many times we feel that many of our brothers are not doing. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said, some people whole life make zikr, but they don't get the benefit of zikr. And for two reasons, Hazrat had explained. One is, we don't do it regularly and punctually. When we feel like we're doing it, when we see, when there is time, it's not like a duty, we haven't made it. And the other is, we don't do it with love and feeling. We're just doing it as a ritual. Even if a person hasn't got feeling, on that point, a few people have asked also, we can try and speak on that a little bit, that sometimes you're high on in spiritually. and you're enjoying all your ibadah, you're making your zikr, your tilawat, your namaz, you're looking forward to it, you're enjoying it. And sometimes you are at a low, where you don't have that enjoyment and that feeling. So, when you, in all cases, what is the object is the pleasure of Allah. That we must keep in mind. Not ourselves, that we enjoy it. When you are feeling at a low, in fact, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayh explained us that the reward is even more greater when you are not really enjoying your ibadah. You're not getting that extra taste in your ibadah. But now you are doing it solely for the pleasure of Allah. And when you are getting enjoyment, there is a high possibility that you are doing it for your own nafs sake, for your own pleasure and enjoyment. So we person shouldn't be confused, and the object is not our enjoyment. That when we are enjoying the ibadat, we carry on, we doing it. A nice example of that to understand, you are driving on a nice freeway, and the road is nice, newly tarred and marked and everything. But they are working in front, there is a detour, and you go on to the side road, which is the gravel road, and it's bumpy, there are stones on it. If your object is just driving, and you want to enjoy the drive, you'll refuse to drive on the side road. You'll tell another person to take over. But if your object is to reach your destination, you'll even drive there, and in front you'll come back again onto the freeway. And then you can enjoy your driving again. So just like that, sometimes we enjoy our ibadah. But the enjoyment is not the object. The object is to fulfill the command of Allah Ta'ala. And even after fulfilling the command of Allah, the object is not it's not happiness and joy. The object is to fulfill the command of Allah. In whichever condition Allah wishes to keep us, for how long He wishes to keep us, in which condition. Our object, our purpose is to please Allah. And we must please Him, and we must carry on. Also, as far as dhikr is concerned, when a new murid starts and is keen, and he starts making zikr, normally it is for a while he enjoys the zikr. Then Allah Ta'ala takes away that enjoyment. This is a test from Allah to see whether he was doing it for his enjoyment or whether we are doing it for Allah. Even when we are not getting that enjoyment, still carry on with your zikr. And try and build within yourself that enjoyment. And realize that I have to remember my Allah, and He gets extremely happy when He is remembered. So it isn't our enjoyment at all. If we get it, that is a bonus, extra bonus. If you are driving on a road that has got a nice canal of water, a stream of water on the side, beautiful flowers also, lights, so the road is lit up also nicely, you enjoy driving. But those are extra bonuses. The scenery is beautiful, and it also happens sometimes the scenery is so beautiful, you look so much there that you can make an accident here. The way you get involved looking at the valleys and the mountains and all that, it could be possible you make an accident. So in the same way, in the path to Allah Ta'ala, if this enjoyment comes like that, and Shaitan will also put that enjoyment to distract you. And you thinking you are enjoying, but actually Shaitan is used there to you, and you're not thinking of Allah. You are just getting this enjoyment. So the object is the pleasure of Allah, and that is what we have to see. So that is what we have to go for. So Allah give us tawfiq that in all conditions, whether we are enjoying our ibadat, we are not enjoying it, whatever is the duty of Allah, and this is the niyat we should make regularly, that Ya Allah, to fulfill all your commandments in the best way I will try. My niyat is to do it perfectly, whether it's namaz, whether it's zikr, whether it's tilawat, and then when we actually actively involved in the amal, then as far as where Allah Ta'ala takes us, but our niyat must be perfection. And if a person gets enjoyment, mashallah, that is, but don't give that your preference in any case. That is not the preference. The object is that Allah must be pleased, and Allah is pleased when we do what we, and Allah gets more pleased when you don't feel like it, but you are still doing it. That is, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, one time his Shaykh, our Dada Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullah Ali, had a fever. And he had a flu, fever, and we know when your fever, your temperature is high, how you feel. So he wasn't like in the mood of all these ibadat. And it was a small little masjid out in Phulpur, and sitting in the mihrab, and winter, cold also, but slowly, slowly, without really any of that enjoyment. It took him a little bit longer, but he completed all what he had to read. Then he told Hazrat Hakim, our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimahullah, that Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me tawfiq and I completed that. Though I did not feel like doing it, but I completed my ma'amulat, all my wazaif and that. So that is what a person also should keep in mind. The value of this great month of Ramadan, one other example that came to mind, which we have mentioned many times also, and it fits on for our whole life also, and for the month of Ramadan also. An example which most probably Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has given, that a person had a beautiful fruit orchard in different sections, and wonderful export quality fruit, first grade fruit, he was growing there. So he told a person, enter this orchard with a basket and you can fill your basket and take as much fruit as you want to, it's for you. But there are only two conditions here. One is that the minute the basket is full, you can't take more, so much only. And on your way, taking fruit, you cannot walk backwards. You must just keep on walking forwards all the time going front. So he entered the first section of this orchard, and Abad, what wonderful fruit! And he just wanted to fill his basket with it. But when he looked in front at the next section, he saw there is even more better fruit. So he said, if I fill my basket, I won't be able to take fruit from the next section. So let me rather go through this section, I'll take fruit from the next section. When he went there, really, it was. The fruit was much, much more better. And he was about to fill when he looked at the third section. And that was even better fruit. So he said, I won't fill here, even if I put one fruit, I'll have less of that better fruit. So he didn't fill anything. He went to the third section. When he went there, that was mirrored. And in a mirror, like in many of the shops, they put all the fruit, and there's a mirror at the back. And anything, a picture, a mirror shows it even more beautiful and more nice. So he thought that next section has even got more better. So I won't fill yet. When he went through that, he was out of the orchard. So he hardly had one fruit. He couldn't come back again. He just had to move front. So like that for our life. When a person is a child, he doesn't do any, he's not, we don't see his children for namaz. Sometimes some children come, very few, but that also, just till they are small children and they just, that little outing. But afterwards, we don't see the young children, the teenagers. Normally, our teenagers we don't see in the masjid. Very seldom and very few you will see teenagers in the masjid. So that is an age when a person thinks it's his time to play and his time to enjoy. And if any child does become serious, there are some children, then the elders also stop them. This is your time to play. This is not your time to be now a big Sufi and to make lot of ibadat and all that. They also stop the child. One time, Hakim Bahlul, Rahmatullah Ali, great Majzub, great Buzur, was walking and some children were playing and one child was standing by the side not playing. So he asked him, why aren't you playing? He thought he hasn't got money to buy whatever they were playing, games, whatever they were doing. So he thought he'll give him and let him also enjoy. So he, a small boy and such a great buzurg, he gave him an answer which stunned him. He said, have we been created for playing? If we can understand this, today we take it when we are grown up also, we are here for playing. Whether it is playing games in the stadium, soccer, cricket, Allah didn't create us for that. Whether it is games on the phone, etc., any other types of games, little children's games, big people's games, all types of games, Allah hasn't created us for that. We are created for something much more greater. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Do you think we created you just all in this tomfoolery, just for in vain, for no purpose really? Don't you know that you have to return to us? And we are going to take account, and you have to fill your coffers, and you have to fill your provision for the year after. For that we have created you. Anyway, which Khaja Azizul Hasan Sahib, Majzub Rahmatullah Ali, puts very beautifully, Pehle bachpan ne tujhe barso khilaya. Childhood made you play for many years, you just kept on playing. And after your childhood, then jawani ne aake tujhe majnu banaya. When you became a young person, you became like a mad person. Jawani diwani. In youth, a person acts like a mad person. What then what he does? The way he'll drive around the car, at what speed in a residential area. And he'll put the music at top blast, etc. He'll be returning home at 2 o'clock in the morning. All the impossible things he will be doing. And burhapa ne phir aanke kya kya sataya. After that, old age comes, and what troubles come with old age? Now your back is paining, your knees are paining, you headache all the time, all types of problems. Ajal aanke aake teri kardegi bilkul safaya. And finally, your time of mort will come, and it will finish you completely. So you went through all the three sections of the orchard, and you put no fruit. That you are still now a child, nothing to do now. Young you have become. Now it's time to play and enjoy life. And you say also now it's time to enjoy. When you grow a bit older, now it's time to make money. And now you are married, it's time to look to have a family and to look after the family. I'll do everything in my old age. Old age came and suddenly you are gone. And you did nothing whatsoever. And for Ramadan, that Ramadan is coming, we'll see. Now what we have to do, wait till Ramadan comes. Even that night, if it could be Taraweeh that night, then also we still relax it. That wait for the news of the moon, then we will get busy into Ramadan. Before we know what, 10 days are gone already. If we look at the moon at night, it's already the full moon. We already half half the month is gone already almost. Tonight will be the 14th Taraweeh. Half the month is gone already, and hardly really Ramadan started. And then soon the moon starts waning and getting finished. So that a person thought that when Ramadan starts, I'm going to start. Ramadan started and it didn't start also. Then after that, one third, one ashara, 1 week of Ramadan is gone. The next week I'm going to start. Then I'm becoming serious now. I'm finishing all my work. Next week comes and you haven't done any. The last week, last ashara, that is the most important, most valuable. I'm going to read day and night and I'm going to cover up and I'm going to do everything last. Before you know what, the month has ended and we didn't fill anything in our baskets. So may Allah Ta'ala make it that we don't procrastinate. Sofa, that we will do. Whatever you can do, get it done. And how much we can do, get it done. This will give barakat for the future. So this month is extremely valuable, and we have read this, Maulana Ridwan has read it, but I just want to emphasize it more for my own sake also, and for everyone's sake. Let's see how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prepared the Sahaba, that on the eve of Ramadan, at the end of Shaban, he prepared them. And long before that, from Rajab already, started making dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban wa ballighna Ramadan. And already Allah beautifying Jannat from the beginning of the year, which is Muharram, which is 9 months in advance, all preparation. And as we mentioned, many buzurgs on the first of Shawwal, they already, for the next Ramzan, which is 12 months still to go, they already start making dua in anticipation of Ramadan. So what I'm trying to do for myself and for all, realize the value of this month. Don't just take it, it's 1 month, well, it's fasting and it's a burden. Also, on that, this might help us also. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has written that many places people don't know the value of Ramadan, then we have a complete negative attitude. And we don't understand the value. In fact, when we were in Madagascar, there are the local Madagascar people. At one time, they were about 97% Muslims. Unfortunately, our negligence, now it's hardly 10%. And in the 10% is included the Shias who are there and other sects which are there. The government figures are 10%. And the Sunni Muslims are much less than that also. Perhaps 2-3%, when at one time they were almost 100%. Anyway, so these people are very simple-minded. Then there are the Comorian Muslims also quite a bit, who have come from the Comores. and they are more deeni inclined, and they've got more knowledge of deen also. Then there are some people who use deen in order to make money also. They go to this poor local people and they tell them Ramzan is coming and you have to keep fast and it's very difficult. How are you going to manage from morning till night, especially summer months? You give us so much money and we will keep your roza for you for every day. So a person who does that will take on responsibility from 100 people that he's going to keep their rozas. And he won't keep perhaps his own roza also. A person who's like that, he won't be even keeping his own fast. He'll forget to keep it for all the other people. So this is the nature. So people who don't have the value, and we think it like a burden. So Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah has written an incident that one village like this, ordinary village people who don't have value of deen, what is the great value of deen, Ramadan, Quran Sharif, poor people don't know. So the Imam Sahib explained to them that Ramzan is coming now and that we have to be fasting. So they thought Ramzan, when he said Ramzan is coming, that it's some person who comes. And when he comes, then he makes you do. Like for example, if a policeman comes, the clerk of the court comes and he tells you this is a summons for you or whatever else. So they thought Ramzan is some person. So they asked the Imam, from which side of our little village does he come? So he said that he comes from the, which side does the moon rise? West. So he comes from the west, from on the west side. So they went out with their lathis, the sticks, that is the weapons they have in the villages, and they're waiting for Ramzan to come, that they'll chase him away, that he mustn't come here. If he comes, then he makes us keep roza. We have to get up for seri, all that. So it so happened. And remember, the word coincidence doesn't exist in an Islamic dictionary. And in Islamic way of life, there is no coincidence. Everything is ordained and planned by Allah Ta'ala. We should try and avoid using the word coincidentally, this happened, he was there, this happened. There is no coincidence in Islam. Allah Ta'ala's command for everywhere. So anyway, this person was coming at that time. So they wanted to charge him, chase him away, that he brings Ramzan and then we can't keep, we have to keep for rozas, etc. So one bright spark said, first verify, is he Ramadan? So when they asked him his name happened to be Ramadan again. So they said, yes, he's the person who's causing it. Okay? So when we don't have the knowledge of deen, then we take Ramadan to be a burden. But when we know the value, it's not a burden. Okay? Like we find commonly also, we can understand many parents, there are how many families in my mind at this moment, where the father built a business over the years, 50, 60, 70 years. What a business he built. But youngsters got different ideas. They just want easy money to be coming in. They don't want to go and open the shop at 7 and 8 in the morning. They don't want the worries on the weekends of the shop, of deliveries, of all that. They just want easy money. And the father tries his best to groom the child to come into, but he doesn't see that what is lying in that business. He hasn't worked for it. He hasn't built it. The father, from his young age, how much he worked and what he sacrificed for that business. The young person doesn't understand that, so he doesn't appreciate. And he just wants to be out of the business. There are how many cases that no matter what it is, we don't want to be in the business. We work from 9 to 5 or 9 to 4 and that's all. But that is still when you can work. After that, what is your pension, what does it come out to? A person thinks that I'll live on my pension. In Zimbabwe, and this is not a story, a real event, a person who was working had a pension fund. Though the masala is different, it's not allowed or whatever. That's a different thing, it's not allowed. But he was a non-Muslim. And when the Zim dollar lost all its value, the bank had written him a letter that you should come in so we can sort out your account. When he went, and he thought he's got a whole pension coming, old age now, I'm going to retire, my money will be coming in. When they saw everything and what he's owing the bank, he only had literally so much money that he could buy one banana with it. Only one banana. So this dunya is a deception. A person many times, he's got a whole empire and he thinks the Quran explains it. That a person built his empire just a dream, like on a solid rock. And there was just some sand that was on there and his whole farm was growing there. But when the one rain storm came, it washed away everything. and he was left with nothing but just a dry rock, a wet rock. That is all that he was left with. Nothing was there. So we shouldn't be fooled with these things. And with the akhirat is a reality. And it is forever. And that is what we have to prepare for. And a person gets called at any time. How many people, what I know, good, wealthy people, at the age of 40, one person died in a hotel room. He was at that time constructing. What constructions were carrying on? Another person, while overtaking at the young age, millionaires of that time. Today, many people are millionaires. But not many years ago, they were hardly had millionaires. There were few families only that were known to be so wealthy. And this person in one car accident, and he was gone. So there is no guarantee, and every day this is happening. In fact, if we have to go to the Qabristan, and we should, Allah give me us all tawfiq, and take time and go. Just for inspiration, I don't say we must do it to this extent, but for inspiration, we've got a good friend in Peter Maritzburg who goes every day to the Qabristan. And every Qabr, he reads three times, Qulhu Allah. Goes to the next Qabr, to the next Qabr. He spends about 4 hours in the Qabristan. And that is his daily, and he's old now, over 80, but he goes walking. So just for our inspiration, we don't go once a week. Each day we used to go, but the real thing is to try and go on a Friday. Or at least once a week we should try and go. And the real reason for going also to Qabristan is not Isal-e-Sawab and Dua-e-Maghfirat, which we should be doing. On that also, we just read recently in one of the kitabs, which is very important. If somebody of our family has passed away, and perhaps he wasn't up to date with his namazes, with other things, he's getting azab, he was doing wrong things, etc. As much as we send isal sawab in dua and maghfirah, it's helping him. And when it comes to a level, then Allah relieves him of his azab. So we should be doing this daily for our family, on a daily basis. While on that point, I'll just mention also, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, was once on his way to Makkah, Medina, Hijaz Muqaddas, and he stopped over in Bombay for 2-3 days. The second or third day, he gathered all his close friends, Khalifas, Murids, Khadims, and he told them, see, it's my second or third day in Bombay, and I've made 2 khatams of Quran, or 3 khatams of Quran, and I passed the sawab to all the people, all the Muslim marhumin of Bombay. And this is my habit, whichever town I go to. Even passing through that town, I make isal-e-sawab of one Quran Sharif for those people. And then he explained, reading 3 times, Qul Wallahu Ahad, the whole surah. That is, getting the sawab of the whole Qur'an. And he advised them, I advise you also, whichever town you go to, whichever place you go to, passing through, many towns as such also, the first thing you see is the Qabristan of that town. So in any case, Allah make it our habit also, on a daily basis, while we are here, may read 3 times, Qul Allah, the whole surah, pass to the marhumin of Azadwell, and make niyat for the whole ummah, for the whole of all the Muslims, Allah will give everyone the full amount. And this they appreciate, and they know exactly who sent it. And they appreciate it also. So, like one instance, one person, he went to the Qabristan, Allah gave him kashf. He could see that all what the people read and send, and more superior is to spend money and spare for that sawab, send it to the marhumin. That is more superior, but even what we read, that also the sawab reaches them. So Allah gave him kashf to see what's happening in the Qabristan, and he saw all the inhabitants, the people who had passed away, they are all rushing to collect their presents, their family people, etc., who are reading and sending for them. So they are rushing to pick up what has been sent for them. One old lady was just sitting quiet. So he asked her, why don't you also go and fetch yours? She said, I only got one son, and he's disobedient. He's not following the commands of Allah. He's far from deen. And where is he going to think of me? He won't send for me. Nobody to send for me. So, and I would like you to go and advise him. Allah gave him the kashf, etc. So he went, he met the son, and he told him. Then he started, and he got a little knock, and he realized now, changed his life, and next time that Buzurg went, he saw she's also going. And she's also collecting her share. So whatever we read and we send also, and the minimum, usually I remind my friends also, that especially if their father was a friend of mine, that for my sawab's sake, I tell them, you must be doing it, but for my sawab's sake, I'm asking you minimum, read every day 3 times, Qulhu Allah Sharif, and pass to the, to your parents at least, and pass to your town people. And also, like when we leave our town, Azad Baliya, where, whichever is our town, read 3 times, Qulhu Allah, pass to the marhumin of our town, and our town people who may be, who have died somewhere else, and they are buried somewhere else, let them also, and the whole ummah, and all Muslims, when we returning also, read again 3 times, Qulhu Allah, and pass the sawab. These people appreciate it very much, and we will get the reward also very greatly. So, from where did we go here, Mani Musa? Anyway, so, So Hazrat Shaykh advised us that we should do this, that every town we should do this. So, may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So this month of Ramadan, and yeah, this 3 times, Qul Huwa Allah, one Quran, is not one Quran in Ramadan. It will go to so many times more. And all our namazes, make namaz on behalf of our marhumin. When we make our nafil namazes, make niyat for all our marhumin also. It will go to them all the sawab. So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So the idea was, the main thing, that we understand the value of this great month. And we pay accordingly, then we will be enthusiastic about the month. Otherwise, I notice, when we speak something like this, a grin comes on somebody's face. What is Ramadan? That Ramadan is what is nothing. Some you can make up. So it shouldn't be, because we haven't got the value. So how much more we will repeat this and revise our lesson. And may Allah bless us with the yaqeen. Iman we got, that Ramadan is an honorable month. But the yaqeen inside, that really how honorable it is, may Allah bless us with that. That is why buzurgs, there are those buzurgs who only slept once for an hour or so in 2 weeks, 15 days. There are those by day and night who didn't sleep. Others who didn't sleep by night. We are such, we're sleeping in a day, we're sleeping at night, we're sleeping all the time. May Allah give us the reality of this great month. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed the Sahaba that a great month is coming. It is a month in which Allah has made fasting for us by day. Allah has made it for us. And the Taraweeh, Allah has made sunnah. That Allah has commanded it to make the Taraweeh. But by sunnat also, we should not underestimate sunnat. Sunnat in the time of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they didn't have all this. This is for us, wajib, sunnat, muakkada, sunnat, ghair. For them, everything they had to do. It's part of deen and we have to do everything. One person who mentioned to a great buzurg in Bhopal that after all, this is only sunnat. What did buzurg reply? That yes, it's true, it is sunnat. But the tone you use, your lehja, is kufa. That sunnat is not important. We must make dua that Allah gives us knowledge of every sunnat. We still haven't got knowledge of so many sunnats which we can practice so easily. If we make dua, Allah will open the ways that we will get the knowledge. Then make dua, Allah gives us the love of every sunnat. Though we cannot practice every sunnat, put surma at night, make wudu at night before going to sleep. Sometimes we are very tired or some of us just lazy, we just don't do it. But at least the love of the sunnat should be there. And then that Allah gives us tawfiq to practice on every sunnat. And then the tawfiq to propagate every sunnat. So may Allah give us tawfiq. So this is a great month. That Allah has given us the rozas of the day, which is a gift from Allah Ta'ala also. As I mentioned, this Ramadan came to visit us, and it came with the Quran Sharif, and not with a trailer, with water, so much other things with it has come. And it has come to deliver us, not to make our life a burden, but to give us great gifts in this month. It is, in another way, a beautiful dasturkhan that is laid out. And on the spiritual dasturkhan of the month of Ramadan, in which Allah has put all these valuable things. So the Taraweeh at night also, we shouldn't look at it as a burden or as something difficult, but we should look at it, as somebody explained very beautifully, that a person is most closest to Allah Ta'ala in sajda. And one of great buzurg, Hazrat Maulana Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullah Ali, was much senior than Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali was still young at that time. He told Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali that when you make sajda, it feels to me that Allah has made love to me. Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali says, when occasionally Allah gives you that sajda, when you are in that different state, it is like you are owning, it's more better than owning the 200 countries of the world. What enjoyment you get. And Ramzan, Allah is giving us 40 such occasions. So why should we reduce it to 16? And you just make 8 rakats taraweeh, or we don't make no taraweeh at all. And we are losing out. Allah is bringing us close to Him. So may Allah give us this enjoyment. And even if that enjoyment is not there, still, we should, if a person, for example, enjoys his life with his wife, very good. But for some reason, there isn't that enjoyment, but still he gets children from her. And the children will look after him in his old age. They will do without enjoyment also. The children are going to be beneficial. And if you get the children with all the enjoyment, mashallah, that is even something. But even without the enjoyment, your children are going to be a great asset for you in your life if you bring them up correctly. So this month of Ramadan is this. There is the month of patience. And the reward of patience is Jannah. That also we don't understand. To make sabr, we find it very hard. For example, Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, till the age of 70, he enjoyed radiant health. And he was one of the Anbiya that were very wealthy. What mentions Allah had given him, what things Allah had given him. But for about 18, 19 years, he was so ill that everyone left him. And the patience of Ayyub alayhi salam has become a proverb. Patience of Ayyub alayhi salam is a proverb. How lot he made per sabr. And when he made sabr so much, after 18, 19 years, Allah gave him everything. His health back, his wealth back, his family back, and more also Allah had given him. So this is a month to learn sabr. When our stomachs, especially now at this time of the day, now for energy is now right at the lowest. So we feel it, but it is a month. And when we feel like that, think of the poor people, of the needy people. We know that another 10 minutes and we're going to make iftari. What about those people who got roza, but they will open their roza on water and they haven't got anything. They can't look forward to any iftari, they can't look forward to sehri. And there are people at this moment in the world who are like that. But they are just still carrying on and that is sabr which they are making. There is a month which we had explained that Allah Ta'ala makes a nafil, the value of a faras. And a faras goes to 70 times the value. This is the time to really to be coining this month of Ramadan. Yeah, also if we make our niyat for our islah and to please Allah, every moment we are sitting here, this talking, mouth is getting dry, but we are tolerating. For if it is for Allah's pleasure with sincerity, then what and what rewards won't Allah Ta'ala give? For when a nafil becomes the value of a faraz becomes 70 faraiz, and as soon as the moon has been sighted, its announcement is made that it is now Eid for next day. All this, those accounts are closed now. New set of books open where the prophets are not to that extent. And to give a fasting person his iftari, what great rewards are there for that. So yeah, also, and where water is easily available. On our dasturkhan, we notice sometimes the glasses are not filled with water and we don't worry. Just taking the jug and pouring for that person, the reward is so great. Where water is easily available, the reward is very great. And where water is not easily available, and you give somebody water, the reward is even greater. So even on the dasturkhan, just to give a khajur, just to show that brotherhood gesture, that also has great reward by Allah Ta'ala. And the four things that we are supposed to ask Allah Ta'ala in abundance, each one of us should think whether we are asking those things. The La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah is such, you say it once, whole life's gunas are forgiven. How valuable, isn't it? La ilaha illallah is the key to Jannah, is the key to the treasures of Allah Ta'ala. Nastaghfirullah, and to seek forgiveness, Allah loves that. And each one asks, those papers are given out, that how much are we reading it? For today, how many times did I read La ilaha illallah, Nastaghfirullah, Nas'alullah al-Jannah, wa na'udhu billahi minan nar? How many times did we read it today? This is one particular thing that we should be doing. Then the five gifts which Allah has given this ummah in the month of Ramadan, that the smell of a fasting person, Allah loves it more than musk. Your beloved loves that fragrance which you have put on. And if your beloved mentions it like it is mentioned in the hadith, the perfume you have put on today, I really enjoy that perfume. And Allah says that when you kept roza and that perfume smell which is coming, I enjoy that perfume smell. That should put a person in a trance. It should thrill a person. That is enough to put you out of this world. Just that you have kept hunger, hungry for Allah's sake, and Allah enjoys it so much. Then the second favor, that all the creation of Allah is making dua for the fasting person. Everything, the fish, the animals, the birds are making dua for the fasting person. What isn't fast? What, how great value isn't a fast? That all the creation of Allah is making dua. Understand that if anyone phones you, tells you that I never forget you in my duas, and he's a very pious person also, how happy won't you feel? The creation of Allah, the animals, the birds, the fish, all this, they no guna they got. And they've got life in them. And they are making dua for us. What a great benefit. And the third, that Allah Ta'ala is decorating Jannah throughout the year for the fasting people. If you going somewhere and you are informed, you are on the phone, we are just busy putting the finishing touches for your room. And we are just cooking your food specifically as you want it. And we are just doing this last bit. How happy, yeah, Allah is doing for you. And as a fast, understand your value. One time Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, who hardly ever gave a bayan in his life, one madrasa in Multan, they forced Hazrat. So Hazrat somehow had to agree. And all he said, oh Maulviyo, apni qadar pehchano. That to understand what is your value. That was all his bayan. So a fasting person, if we just understand what is the value of a fasting person, and this every person cannot understand also. One ustad explained to his students that one masala you learn, one rule of deen, one ayat of the Quran you learn is more valuable than the whole world and what it contains. And there is absolutely no doubt about it. So the child was very happy. Every day I'm learning 10 ayats, 15 ayats, 20 ayats. I'm learning 10 masalas, 15 masalas. I'm learning so much. One day his sandal broke. Old pair of shoes, poor student. So he took it to the shoemaker to fix. The shoemaker asked him, how much will you pay me? So he said that, I'll teach you one masala. And to him, the more better than the whole world than what it contains. The shoemaker took the sandal and threw it on his face. And tell him, go, what must I do at one masala? What must I do at one eye? He got confused. My ustad, who doesn't speak a lie, always he speaks the truth. Like for example, in some places, the ustad explained in Arabic grammar, that sometimes some word is muqaddar, it is implied, it is meant. It's not written there, but the rule applies there. So a student who was still very young, he thought that what does it mean that is implied? It must be there. So he started scratching the pages. And after about 60, 70 pages, he found the word there. So he said, my ustad, he wasn't lying, he spoke the truth. That word was hidden there, it was very deep down. I had to dig very much, but I found it was there. So anyway, so he said, my ustad told that it's what you call it, more better than one masala, better than the whole world. So he went and asked the ustad. Ustad understood what is his perplexity, his problem. So the ustad took a very valuable gem, diamond, stone, and told an elderly person to go back to the same shoemaker and tell him to fix your shoe, and when he asks you what you're going to give, tell him, I'll give you a stone. So he threw the sandal back again. What must I do with the stone? I want, in our time, say 5 rain, 10 rain, whatever it might be, what must I do with the stone? Then he sent the child with that same stone to the jeweler in the town. The jeweler, on seeing the stone, he says, nobody has got money to pay for it besides the king. So it isn't that the ayat hasn't got a value, it is the people don't know the value. It isn't that Rosa haven't got value, it is that we don't know what is the value of Rosa. If a person knows, and for example a person has got any type of problem, Allah save us all, whether it's illness, financial, domestic, whatever. And you know, if I'll keep Rosa out of Ramadan also, all the creation of Allah is going to make dua for me. Then my problem will get solved, but if we got that yaqeen. And then to get up for Sehri will be easy, but we haven't got that. So this is what we have to build. Whether it is coming to the Khanqah, whether it is going in Jamaat, whatever, this is what we have to build. And then Allah Ta'ala has been so kind that Allah Ta'ala has chained the shayateen. Either the evil shayateen or all the shayateen. And then 11 months we were serving them. We were working, we had become friends with the shaitan. And now the habits have come onto us. So now though the shayateen are chained, but we still are committing sins. But it isn't, see, anyone can admit, little children keeping roza, 30 rozas, how they managing to keep. Otherwise it's difficult. Women try their best to get the masala somehow that we are part and we can keep rozas. Because they know out of Ramadan that roza is not easy to keep. What is it? And really, to stay with food is very loved by man. He loves his food. But it's because the shayateen are chained. How many people, the TV programs, but Ramadan they give it up. How many people who are addicted to liquor, but in Ramadan they give it up. So the shayateen are chained. Just imagine, for our sake, for our rozas, Allah Ta'ala has even chained the shayateen. And then the first favor is that Allah grants two great enjoyments for a person who has kept fast. One is at the time of iftari. And not just that we are eating khajur and that, but really if a person thinks that Allah gave me the tawfiq that I kept this roza for Allah's sake. Otherwise, to keep that roza, we know it's difficult. It's only if Allah makes it easy that I fulfill the command of my Allah. Through what and what, every time I made wudu, we got winter here, it's not so difficult. But in summer, where it's so hot, and you are making wudu there with cold water, and when you gurgle your mouth, but you take that extra precaution that not even a part of a drop must go down the throat. And Allah is watching. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Don't you know Allah is watching you? What you can't see yet whether a drop of water has gone down. Allah is watching. And Allah is watching that how careful you are. And when you rinse your mouth also, that you're trying to take out the last drop again. And now in you the whole day, you kept for Zuhar you made in summer, you made wuzu. In the morning you made wuzu. For Asr you made wuzu. Perhaps the wuzu stayed till Maghrib. And for Allah's sake you kept a roza like that. If your child did some work for you and he went through so much difficulty, how much won't you reward him? You'll try your utmost to go out of your way and make him happy. For my sake, who can then appreciate wa ni'mal qadirin? There is nobody who appreciates like Allah Ta'ala. Allah is the great appreciator. So for Allah's sake, a person keeps rozas. And when you keep your 29-30 finished, at the end Allah becomes so happy. Allah, if this yaqeen comes in our heart, there is no doubt, Allah is called an assembly of the malaika. And Allah is asking them, just imagine Allah, how great Allah, that the servant who has done his work, when he has completed his work, what should be done? And the malaika say he must be paid. And Allah says, you bear witness. And those rozas, inshallah, are our weak rozas which we keep. Roza, you don't have to concentrate. Namaz you have to concentrate, tilawat you have to concentrate, dua you have to concentrate. Roza, no concentration. Roza is a ibadat and you keeping it, and inshallah, all of us we are keeping roza, nobody knows if we are keeping roza or not. We just perhaps in front of the people you can make, but only Allah knows. That even when you are completely alone, you are alone in the house, last night samosas are in the fridge, and the pies are there, and you are hungry also, but you don't touch a thing. What is it? Only for Allah's sake. And this reward what Allah will give. Which Maulana Tami Rahmatullah Ali quoted a hadith that on the day of Qiyamah, when people will be busy in Hisab Kitab, people will be sitting under the arsh of Allah, which will be the air-conditioned waiting room. The lounge of Allah Ta'ala. And there the dasturkhan will be laid out with what wonderful food it will be laid out. And these people will be eating. Those people will say, how come those people are enjoying like this eating and we merry making they are in, while we have to be here in Hisab Kitab, drowning in the sweat, somebody up to his ankles, somebody up to his knees, somebody up to his shoulders. Allahu Akbar, may Allah have mercy. But these rozas will see the value then. So this is that great month Allah has given us. And there are still so many other virtues of it also, which Maulana Umair read in the Khutbatul Ahkam Friday. Jee, one time we quoted there all those hadith also. What great virtues. So just appreciate this month. Let Allah put that reality into us, that don't take it in any way like a burden. Take it as a great gift from Allah. Allah has sent tremendous gifts for us, more than all what our mansions are, our cars are, whatever we have, Allah has sent. And it has come with Quran Sharif. And listen to the Quran that is being recited, how beautiful Quran is. And it has come together with that, with the rozas. It has come together with Siri, to get up Siri time, what an environment. To get to iftari, what an environment, especially in Medina Sharif. Iftari time, the world knows it's a scene of Jannat there. What that scene is, even in Makkah Sharif, what Allah has given the Muslims of the world. And when you go to poor countries for iftari also, see what Allah is sending for them also. The way they will host you will think these people are wealthy. Who told me these people are poor? Allah gives barakat. So that great month is with us. We are still in it. Today is the 13th finish. 13th finish. We have still got time. Appreciate this time. May Allah give me and us all tawfiq to make the best of this time and take the full advantage and make ourselves mentally prepared for the future also. And see also that brothers have come from where and where for Islah also. We should take inspiration from that. Where Maulana Umair, mashallah, is a senior alim of Malaysia, what Harunum, everything, with his whole family. Brother Abdul Rahim is coming also for how many years now? He has brought a friend also of his work. All these people, Maulana Asif just left back again. Let us take inspiration from this. Why are all these people? And from other places also people are coming, locally, abroad, etc. Whole families are coming. We should take inspiration. And we also should try and take the benefit of this month. May Allah give us all tawfiq and to take the maximum of this month. وَآخِرُ دَوَانَا لِلْحَمْدِ اللَّهِ